Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
As you know, Stugatz's laziness will echo throughout the eternities. So even in a movie, that has Mike Francesa, Kevin Garnett, and Adam Sandler, which seems like the holy trinity to get Stugatz to watch anything. Right. Stugatz has not yet watched Uncut Gems. And the reason I bring this up is because 2 days ago, I got a text from Stoic Roy that merely said, holy bleep, Uncut Gems put a lot of unnecessary stress in my life. Mike Ryan came here today and said there should be a warning on that movie to tell you that you're going to be stressed, that he had to stop watching it for a little while and start meditating because it's basically a degenerate's life falling apart as he gambles and gambles and risks, and you feel the walls closing in on you. It is a movie, Stugatz. I don't know that you'd enjoy it.
Really?
I don't. Well, just because it's stressful. It's not, I don't know what you go to a movie for. The most stressed I've ever been in a movie, and I will ask you guys this question to all of you, put it out to you. The most stressed you've ever been watching a movie, it wasn't enjoyable to me. It was Ryan Reynolds in Buried. He was in a coffin the entire time with, you know, sand pouring into the coffin, and it just made me feel claustrophobic. I had a real hard time watching it. I can't say I enjoyed that movie, but I can say, man, hell of a movie that it reached through the screen and made me feel like that. But I don't think that's why most people go to the movies. In fact, I would say the movie Seven is a bit of a masterpiece, but I don't think that the grand majority of people would make it a epic all-time movie because they don't like, spoiler alert, the ending with Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box. Like, they don't like to leave a movie and be like, oh, that feels awful. I don't want to feel like that when I'm going to my escape hatch. It's the same thing that happens in sports, Stugatz. Nobody wants to hear about Max Scherzer's opinion on things.
Right.
Because I just want to go to my escape hatch. I don't want to keep being reminded it's a business. I don't want to keep being reminded at every turn that this isn't about love of the game in any way. It's about money. It's about business. It's about contracts.
I think people go to movies for different things. They want to get away, right? They want to get away and escape from reality, or they want to learn something, or they just want to see something good. The most stressed I've ever been watching a movie. The most stressed. Now, I have not seen Uncut Gems yet. I plan on watching it. Was Point Break, start to finish. That was a stressful movie, but it's also my favorite movie of all time. So I have a feeling I'm going to like Uncut Gems. The reason I haven't watched it is I just can't get past the fact that Mike Francesa is in a movie. I can't get past it.
And he's pretty good.
I know.
He seems relaxed. Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Were you stressed watching Uncut Gems?
They didn't really ask Mike Francesa to stretch. He's very believable as someone that would take your bets in the back of an Italian restaurant. But Stugatz, here's a fine line between the Pure Adrenaline Edition DVD of Point Break, which, yes, I'm with you. It gets me sweating every time because it's high adrenaline. And what Uncut Gems did, which is just give you anxiety attacks. Wherever that tipping point is, right, they took a bulldozer through it very early on. The way that there are epileptic seizure warnings before watching something that might trigger you, that needs to be before this film, because it hurt watching this movie at times. It was an anxiety-inducing experience. The pacing, for God's sakes, the most relaxing part of the movie is when someone does cocaine. Jesus. This movie does not breathe. It's too much. I'm sure it's a good movie. I was invested in the story. The end is a surprise. There's really good performances in it. Kevin Garnett does a really good job in the film, although some of the sports things bother me. Because, I mean, don't say put on ESPN when the game's on TNT. Just don't do that. Just, it bothers me a little bit. But, man.
Adds to your stress.
Dude, this movie, it wasn't an enjoyable experience for me. It wasn't watching
it. Well, let me ask you, as it relates to the movie experience, because Stugatz laid out a couple of the reasons that people watch movies, but I would say that you watch movies largely above everything else to feel whatever it is. To feel something, even if you're escaping, whether it's laughter, whether it's sadness, whether it's appreciation of art, it's just to feel something. But if it's a negative feeling, like, I don't know, I like dark movies. I don't mind endings that, that don't leave me an answer that's easy as I leave, the theater or watch it on television. Tony, Mike was asking you questions about Uncut Gems, and he was asking you, because you came in stressed out this morning and revving, and because the most peaceful time in the movie was the weekend doing cocaine, he asked you, Tony, do you have any anxiety issues? Like, it was a deeply personal question that he asked you, to which you responded, I do, but not about this. So your overall feelings on Uncut Gems with Kevin Garnett, Mike Francesa, and Adam Sandler was what?
Yeah, the answer I had for Mike was my anxiety is existential in nature, so I didn't have it watching the movie. Much like Buried with Ryan Reynolds, I felt like I didn't breathe the entire movie. I got through the whole thing, and I was like, finally, at the end, when I could actually breathe when we finished the movie. But I thought it was a really good, like, showing into what it's like to be that kind of person. And I thought it was really introspective on somebody's entire life tail spinning. And that's what I took from the movie when there's a certain part where I'm talking with Mike where he's in his office. There's people just talking. The doctor's trying to tell him some news. And at that point, I almost lost it. I'm sweating just thinking about it.
Roy, how about you? You are normally a stoic. You are not someone who reveals a great deal of anxiety. I was surprised to get your text with curses in it, just not feeling good about yourself after watching the movie. Can you say that you enjoyed the movie?
I found it to be an excellent movie. I just did not enjoy the movie. Now, that's pretty rare to find, you know, like Seven would be an example of that, but I just did not enjoy it. And I found myself yelling at Adam Sandler's character. Like, he had so many opportunities to get out of the situation that he was in and got himself in deeper. I was yelling at him, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, Mike said, I think he stopped the television. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show, because this is the only place that I yelled, what are you doing? And it's when he had a parlay that started with betting the opening tip. I'm like,
what's wrong with that?
I mean, well, his whole life was riding on a parlay that he needed to come in, and he needed Garnett to have a big game, and it begins with needing to win the opening tip.
He turns to people, he's like, that's the hardest part. No bleep, of course. Why are you betting this?
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Today on ESPN Daily, with Tom Brady finally out of the AFC East, will a new champion emerge in the form of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills? Hear how Allen's growth could mean it's the season for Bills fans. That's ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. These days, we have to travel smart. Marathon can help by improving engine performance with quality top-tier gasoline. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
John Barr is going to join us at 11:30 Eastern to talk about Roy Halladay, who very quietly, very stoically, was excellent and also had a pain medicine addiction that none of us found out about until he died. So John Barr is going to be on with us at 11:30 to talk about that, because ESPN is doing some pretty cool stuff here with some of the work it's doing. This Lance Armstrong documentary is gritty, Stugatz, whether you like him or not. And I saw Deadspin has a headline, ESPN's Lance new documentary, same glib bleep hole. People don't like Lance Armstrong, and it's really hard sometimes to think that someone you know to be a liar is telling the truth. But I do believe he's lost so much in his life, and there's so much honesty that you're seeing in this that doesn't favor him, that it does make sense to me that he's arrived at a point this late in life where he's comfortable with the amount of bleep hole that he is. And so what ends up happening, Stugatz, is, and it doesn't mean it's better, and it doesn't mean it's necessarily more popular, obviously, but it's a more interesting look at someone because he's more interesting than Michael Jordan. I know a lot of people are listening to that and saying, what are you talking about? I'm just talking about interesting. I'm talking about someone who's going to provide content for you that makes you think a little bit more about things outside of him, and then apply, you know, your sensibilities to whatever it is that person is. Michael Jordan is basically, He's a dull canvas with a lot of excellence on it. Lance Armstrong's fascinating as a personality type.
I don't think anyone ever looked to Michael Jordan for interesting. I don't think anyone was looking to The Last Dance for interesting. That was a celebration of Michael Jordan, a celebration of team, a celebration of that team. You are right. This is far more interesting, but the topic's more interesting. The thing surrounding all this is more interesting, where you have a guy who, you know, in a sport that really no one cares about, that, you know, everyone's basically cheating, and for him to keep up with them and be the best at his sport and make America proud of him, he has to resort to the same type of stuff. And so it's definitely, from a topical standpoint, it's definitely more interesting. There's no question about it.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. I'm not talking about just the subject matter, though, because, of course, the subject matter is interesting. I'm talking about the person himself, the root behavior of how it is he became who he is. Put it on the poll. Who's more interesting at Le Batard Show? Who's a more interesting person, Michael Jordan or Lance Armstrong? I'm guessing that poll, Michael Jordan wins there too, Stugatz. Because
I just said Lance Armstrong and his story is more interesting. I'm still voting for Jordan. I don't have to tell you.
At Le Batard Show on Twitter, Chris Cody, the most stressed you've ever been during a movie. And I tell you again that I have never been as stressed during a movie as I was during the movie that features Ryan Reynolds called Buried, and is just basically him in a coffin all movie in a way that's deeply claustrophobic and uncomfortable. What would you nominate, Chris, for the most uncomfortable you've ever been during a movie?
I've been thinking about this a lot during the break. Sixth Sense was a really stressful movie for me. I was young when I saw that. But I think the winner for me for this is Good Burger. when Keenan and Kel try to get into, when they get into Mondo Burger and they're trying to get the secret sauce and Kurt catches them, I mean, I'm sweating right now starting to think about that scene.
I wish the ocean wasn't closed. I wish the beach were still not closed here in South Florida so that I could send you right now into the ocean. Guillermo, what would you say is the most stressed that you have ever been watching a movie? I can't imagine. You're a stress-soaked creature to begin with. I can't imagine. How do you feel in general about stressful movies?
Do I like being stressed? No, I do not like being stressed. I'd say my favorite or my most stressful scene that I can remember took place in the streets of Brazil. And it was when the Fast crew was racing through the streets with the vault that they had just taken from police headquarters. And things seemed like they weren't going well. They got caught on the bridge. Toretto, Brian, they ended up getting saved by Hobbs, who kind of stopped the Brazilians from killing them. And then you see them, and Hobbs, because he's so grateful to Toretto and Brian, he says, you know what? You guys have earned yourself 24 hours. You can go. And you're like, oh, I mean, Hobbs is just going to hunt them down again. And they didn't get the money from the safe. But they did, Dan Le Batard. They pulled the old switcheroo under that bridge with the garbage truck where they switched vaults and they got away. And then, you know, we've seen what's happened ever since. Hobbs has joined forces with that. It's been a whole thing. But before all of that played out, that was a very stressful moment in my life.
Mike and Allison, I think I want to put Allison on this as well. There is only one person in South Florida who is allowed to run on the beach. His name is Raven. They call him the Raven. He runs every day. He's been doing it for like 30 or 40 years, and people run with him. It's a bit Forrest Gump-like. I would like Mike and Allison, please, to petition the Miami Beach politicians to open the beach so that I can please send Billy and Chris out to the beach and into the ocean, because your most, put it on the poll, Guillermo, are your most stressful movies allowed to be about a burger and Fast and the Furious at Le Batard Show? Are they allowed? Like, how bad is your taste when these are the movies that provide most of the stress in your life?
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves, in the world, and of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 or share a video or text using the hashtag Dear Sports on Twitter or Instagram. Here's your SportsCenter update. 2 days after a black man in Minnesota died after being pinned by police, the University of Minnesota announced that it will limit its relationship with the Minneapolis Police Department. The NBA and National Basketball Players Association are progressing on a plan that would allow for a limited number of family members to join the players for the season's resumption inside an Orlando, Florida bubble environment. And finally, a man was arrested yesterday in San Diego after breaking into a Wells Fargo bank. He wasn't there to rob the bank. He just wanted to heat up his hot pockets. As he was brought outside to the police car, a 10 News reporter asked him if the hot pockets were worth it. He responded, "Hell yeah, it's worth it. Bleep yeah, it's worth it. A hot pocket? Hell yeah." He's right. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Have you ever burned your mouth on a hot pocket at Le Batard Show? Stugatz, it is really rare to have a topic that basically goes back throughout the whole history of sports radio and is perfect for us in the respect that in my entire career as a journalist, covering a quarter of a century, basically one of the things that makes me most unpopular or viewed as someone who's polarizing or controversial, it's that I side with athletes. I side with labor. And it is something that gets me viewed as an athlete apologist. So, right in front of us now, we have something that might be new to a whole lot of people, but if you've been around for a while, you know that the norm in baseball is fighting over money. It's not labor peace. The norm is fighting over money. And throughout history, the players union wins those. That's why that sport doesn't have a salary cap. And what is fascinating about what's happening right now, and Max Scherzer just told you, bleep that, get it out of here. Max Scherzer just told you basically that our counteroffer isn't even going to pay attention to your original offer.
I talked about this on the local hour with David Sampson. How sure are you that that's Max Scherzer and not Scott Boras?
It could be either of them. There are plenty of people like Trevor Bauer who are questioning Boras's agenda here because I don't know how this works with Boras. Boras has been very loud about getting baseball back, and I don't know if Boras is going to have to take a pay cut, too, on all these percentages on these contracts that he negotiated.
I got educated on the matter. Scott Boras stands to lose a lot of money if his clients lose money annually because his commission is year to year. So if Cole is earning a hell of a lot less money, Scott Boras is earning a hell of a lot less money. And so I think that this was kind of shaped, this Max Scherzer statement that was done on a notepad app and put out there for the world. I kind of feel like this was shaped by the Scott Borases of the world.
But here's the part that I find interesting, Stugatz, because you are right when you say that it's a terrible look for the players to turn down millions of dollars during a pandemic. But it is literally the only leverage these owners have because they are legitimately at risk now. And unlike basketball and football, where the owners can wait out the players, that's not so in baseball.
Right.
It's why baseball always wins these labor wars because Max Scherzer can sit out for as long as he wants. It's not, he can sit out for 2 years, and while he might not love that, he's doing it because every union before him has done it to make sure that Max Scherzer is never playing under a salary cap. My guess is, tell me if I'm wrong about this, my guess is you can find some funny numbers that tell you that Max Scherzer is earning a great deal more than people who are better than him in basketball and in football, because you get a situation where you've got no salary cap and these owners right now are trying to get something that feels like a salary cap. And what's interesting to me about this, Stugatz, is for the owners, this is their game. Like, not baseball is their game, negotiating. This is where they love to play. But the only leverage they have is pandemic. That's it. They don't have another leverage on this. And so the players are like, bleep off. We'll take the hit. Tom Glavine was a professional his entire career, and he's already given voice to, yeah, the players will get a bad rap, and what? We'll get our money. We'll get no salary cap. Fine, the fans won't like us and people will cry about the game is going to die. They've been saying that, and we win every labor war. The owners never beat us on the labor wars. So the owners in this particular case, they are at risk. It's not the game that's at risk. It's them that's at risk because you're talking about a whole lot of money that players can afford to fight over, and they can afford to fight over it too, but players will not take this risk. They're going to reject a laughable offer, a laughable, unfair offer that tried to take advantage of public relations in the pandemic, and that hasn't worked for 30 years trying to take advantage of the public relations because baseball players don't care.
But Dan, is there something to be said for the fact that baseball isn't in the position that it was previously? I mean, we saw the last major work stoppage. It needed steroids to come back, and something that was spread across the front page of national newspapers. I do think if you look at their demos recently, the age group that they're targeting gets older and older. There really isn't sustainable growth for this sport. I think that they, the leverage that the owners have is not just the pandemic. It's not just you don't get your paycheck. It's that there's going to be a hell of a lot less money for us if we skip a season because we're losing more and more interest. Maybe we can't survive that. We've seen how work stoppages hurt the NHL in terms of growth.
I disagree for this reason. When you argue about baseball being sustainable, the thing that makes them sustainable is that in this era, they're giving you 162 regional telecasts, and they've got all that regional television money. And I understand what you're saying about some fans will walk away betrayed and hurt. And Billy Gill is still out here going to Marlins games with his family, even though he's been betrayed any number of times. And God forbid the Marlins start doing anything that resembles winning. He'll be going there even more because the money, the business aspect of this is such that it's the regional contracts that matter. You can say all you want that baseball is dying. Mike Trout's salary doesn't seem to indicate it.
Yeah, but that's from a bygone era already. We passed a tipping point. The bottom fell out on that. They're not handing out these big regional TV contracts anymore. They're flatly not. They need the Amazons of the world to get into geo-targeted content like that.
What makes you think they won't? Everybody's looking for live sports. Hulu's sitting here banking on live sports.
Well, the way that Hulu banks on live sports is through television contracts. It's a little bit more complicated than that outside of the catchy marketing campaign. But they need, we've seen it already on a smaller scale where like LAFC has a regional TV contract with YouTube and YouTube subscribers in that area can watch LAFC. But they need these big tech companies to get into this game because, you know, Fox Sports Southwest doesn't even exist anymore and they're certainly not handing out this type of money.
You say that fans are the reason that baseball will be hurt or die, and that demographic is weakened. There's no old and weakened, but these owners are in a vulnerable position because the fans that you're looking at now that may pull away or may die or may just vanish on you because they don't like the feeling of everything that's happening right here and how ugly this looks. I believe that the argument there is going to be about baseball players don't actually believe that they're going to lose those fans. Because, Mike, despite everything that's happened there, you could say the bubble has burst, but the money is still there. The money, those contracts have been given out. We keep saying throughout my entire life, all I've heard is how baseball is dying. And throughout my entire life, the franchises don't depreciate it. It's not like, yes, maybe you lose fans. Maybe you lose fans. But how can the Mets be losing money, Stugatz? How? You tell me. You explain this part of it to me. The Mets will lose more money by playing this year than they'd lose by not playing. And A-Rod and J-Lo with J.P. Morgan couldn't get into the game to buy just 80% of the Mets for $2.6 billion. $2.6 billion. You guys show me how the franchises are depreciating, because what you're looking at now is the risk of depreciation. And it's why I believe the players have the leverage even with a pandemic hanging over their head.
I know they're still dishing out the contracts. Gerrit Cole gets paid. But Dallas Keuchel has to wait a long time to get paid. And we just had the Boston Red Sox tell us they can't afford a player. There is something changing with that sport and the contracts they're dishing out.
More sports next.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
If you missed any of our interviews, please check them out on demand in the Dan Le Batard Show podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card, or 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all of the purchases. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
So you have heard Stugatz for years complaining about how every day he gets home and his wife has a bunch of boxes that have been sent to the house. But Stugatz, without games to bet on here for a while, has just realized he's late to this particular game. Many billions, Bezos dollars late to this game. But Stugatz is now addicted to Amazon. I don't understand what's happened here. How did it catch you? What has happened here? You've just realized that shopping for bargains, that Amazon is going to rule the world here shortly by eliminating all other retailers?
I got to tell you, Amazon's fun. It's addicting. It is fun. There is a convenience factor with it, obviously. It is fun to track your packages to see if you do the free shipping, right? The shipping is the most fun for me, right? Because you can pay for shipping or you can go free shipping. And I am telling you a little tip right now, go free shipping. Your package is going to get there at roughly the same time as it would if you paid a couple extra dollars to get it there by a certain day. I'm just telling you, that's a tip from me. But I love it because everything is on Amazon. Dan, I am making purchases. I am buying things. I'm not even certain I need them. I have three different massage things, pillows that I have purchased. I only need one, but I have purchased three of them, and all three are delightful. Now, I don't know which one to return. Last night, it was golf balls. It was tees. I mean, I am having a blast on Amazon, man. I am late to this party. I'm sorry. I'm addicted to it, though.
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Is Stugatz now addicted to Amazon because his gambling has been taken away? Keeping in character also, Stugatz has a suggestion for the Houston Astros because Stugatz is so excellent at spending other people's money. It's one of the things that he's best at, telling other people how to use their money. One of the conversations that we have most often. Hell, we ended up practically in an argument yesterday off air because Stugatz is telling everyone to take pay cuts and I just blurt at him, you wouldn't take a 2/3 pay cut and keep coming into work. But he always forgets that he's the person who would at least like to hear his own opinion as it relates to others taking pay cuts. So what is your suggestion for the soaked in scandal and shame Astros?
I mean, I'll remind people that I did take a pay cut and I'm working as hard as ever. I mean, I'll remind you, Dan Levitar, that I took a pay cut and I'm working harder than I was before.
You wouldn't do it for a 2/3 pay cut. You would not.
Probably not. You're right. Listen, I have a solution for the Astros problems. It was a great back and forth with you and Mike. I am telling you, people don't care about leverage. The owners do have the ultimate leverage here. They have the fans. They have public sentiment. They have a pandemic. They have unemployment.
That's not the ultimate leverage.
How does it get as good as it gets?
No, but how does it get to be the ultimate leverage if the players don't actually care about what you're saying is their ultimate leverage? The players don't care about the public relations of this. It's how the union has always won. They stop caring about the public relations of it.
And that's fine. If the players choose to not care, they choose to not care. Perhaps they're right. The fans will come back regardless of what the players do here. It is a bad look. The optics are horrible on this. But I have a solution to the Astros problems because all the players hate them already. So it doesn't matter. No one likes the Astros. So here is my solution, right? And I'm not certain how many fans like the Astros because of the cheating scandal that just happened before the pandemic. So when you have all of the players already not liking you, okay, and not respecting you, why not take it one step further? You're not going to win the players back, but you know what you might do? You might win the fans back. If you are the Astros, you come out and say, hey, you know what? This year is on us. How about that? We will play this season for free. Okay? No pay for free. In fact, pay us whatever you want to pay us. We're going to give them to our fans. Okay? That's what we're going to give them to your fans. How about that? Red Sox fans, you don't like us? Here's some of my salary. That's what the Astros should do. They will win everyone back, but the players, but who cares? Because the players don't like them anyway. I mean, it's a perfect plan for them.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Would the Houston Astros become America's team if they played for free. Stugatz, when I say the thing that makes me, or one of the things that makes me unpopular, being the player apologist, another thing is I tend to, desecrate or urinate on some of the myths in sports that exist. And what I would say to you right now, as you see the players not caring about the fans and public sentiment and this leverage that you seem to think they are up against, people not liking them, I remind you again, and this part is always hard for fans to hear. You generally don't want to hear that it's even a business, but please understand what it is that you're witnessing right now so that you can understand how it is the players don't actually care what fan opinion is on this. It ain't love of the game, man. None of them would do it for free. None of them would get on the airplanes. None of them would get addicted to painkillers like Roy Halladay did. None of them would do it for free because the money matters. It's not love of the game. It is absolutely something that makes them happier at life if they happen to love the game. But it ain't love of the game that they're negotiating right now. It's flat money that they're negotiating right now because Max Scherzer cares deeply. You can't be as excellent as he is without caring deeply. But he also cares about being paid. And you guys talk about the death of the business, but the death of that business has been wailed about for decades upon decades, and players are playing for more money than they ever have, whether they love the game or not. How many players have we talked to, Stugatz, who say baseball's boring? They're bored by baseball. It ain't love of the game.
The only player I've heard say he played for free is Shoeless Joe Jackson in Field of Dreams.